What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps, episode 228.
What's up there that you just pointed to?
Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Mubarak to all my Muslim people across the world.
That's true.
I hope you guys are having a safe and as a strong of a Ramadan as you can possibly have. I don't know if that's the correct term, but I think it's something like that.
Shalom.
Shalom. Salaam. All right. We got some big fights that we're going to recap.
Major fights.
Major fights alert.
Huge fights.
There was actually one chick at the PFL fights that I did want to give a shout out. So thank you for, she came up to me and she was just saying that she listens every week and it gives her inspiration for her own MMA podcast that she's doing.
That's awesome.
And I thought that was pretty damn cool. I was like, oh, that actually is really nice to hear.
Yeah.
And it's cool to hear that we're actually giving some inspiration to some other people that want to enter this space.
No, yeah, I mean, since I joined, we've been getting a lot of great feedback.
Oh, that's interesting.
not for my performance, but you know, I'm sure that had something to do with it, you know.
We'll give you a little credit throw some credit in there.
That is actually dope, though.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool, and for her to go out of her way to do that. She seemed very, like, shy. But it seemed like it took her a little bit.
She was like excited to see you.
Yeah, so
like,
it was cool.
Oh my God, it's Aljo. That was cool.
That's what's up. So
I didn't get the
name of her podcast because I would have given her a shout out. But Damn. Shout out to her. You know who we are talking about.
Drop the ball. Yo, if you're watching, comment your podcast.
Yeah, definitely. We'll drop try to pin it. Other than that, the fights at PFL were pretty cool.
Cool fights.
For the most part, some of them were a little slow. But the main event, I got to go back and watch this one over. Marlon versus Brandon Lane. And this was, I don't want to say back and forth, but it was kind of a surgical picking apart from Brandon. Marlon had some moments that some big shots landed, like that uppercut that stuck. I was like, dude, how's he even still standing? That looked like it would have broke anybody's face. But the story of that fight was the calf kicks, man, and both legs.
What is going on with Marlon, though?
I think it just goes to I don't think it's really anything with Marlon, like, he looked like he was in great shape. He fought hard. He never quit.
Yeah.
He didn't seem like he had a gas tank issue this time around. In the last two performances, I will say. But I do think MMA can show that it's a very relentless and unforgiving sport. Like, one day you could be here, and the next day you could feel like you're down here at the bottom. And I think that's just all that has happened to him. I still think he has a skill and a technique to compete with some of the best guys in the world. But at the end, and because only for him, he was that guy who was known for that one shot will put you away or hurt you, and then he could put you away with the submission. And unfortunately, he hasn't been able to land that kill shot that's gonna put people out.
No.
So I don't think it's more like, oh, it's one sided where he looks slow or he doesn't have the power and he's just getting like brutalized from bell to bell. I just think these guys are now realizing that if you can stick in there and avoid the big shots, that you can beat a guy like that.
Yeah.
And that's the game. It's just like anything else. Hit them more than they hit you.
The leg kicks that he was taking just seemed like they hurt him like way more than when we normally see leg kicks. When we know they hurt normally, but like he was like falling over. Like it didn't even seem like he had to take that many.
Nah, but that's the thing. Those calf kicks were like right on the money. The calf is such a small muscle. So when you slam that shin bone into that thing over and over, it only takes, I will say, like three decent ones that can really compromise someone's movement and compromise their judgment and also compromise the way that they're utilizing their footwork and make them more hesitant about stepping heavy on that lead leg, which way they're circling. And I think that's kind of what happened. Man, you even saw the one where he kind of face planted and then rolled over like towards the end. But that's just how painful that is, man. I've been calf kicked before with the Pedro Munhoz fight. But it was in the last minute of the fight where we traded kicks, and I was like, all right, you're the leg-kicking guys. I'm going to leg-kick you back, and we're both going to be banged up. Let's give the crowd a show. And I wasn't going to let him do that to me early in the fight because then you take away my movement for the rest of the fight.
Right. So
and
how
that's
do you,
how you end that.
How do you, like how do you just not let someone land them on you?
I think the easiest and the most, I don't want to say convenient, but the safest way to get out of that is to just evade it altogether.
Just go away.
Yeah. It's like almost like this technique I call hollowing out. You hollow out your leg where you almost like your lead leg, you shift it out, you slide it back, almost like you're stepping on a dollar bill and dragging it so no one sees it. Like, that's like the analogy I would give. So it's like someone sees something, you step on it and you drag your foot back, and then you kind of keep it there, and then you can step back, and then you can counter, or you can just get completely out of the way and then look for your rebuttal off of that.
So like, for like, you basically kind of have to like lean your head in a little bit to do that though, right?
No. Can stand straight upright.
Because if you're like, I would think if you're like putting your foot back, you're kind of putting your face forward a little.
Nah.
And then it exposes
you. You could be standing here and I could step and I could slide this out the way, step, and then crack a kick. I can also be leaning forward heavy where I'm heavy on this lead leg and then I could slide it backwards, but then my head is left stationary in that space.
That's what I'm
thinking. But if I'm standing upright and I'm here and I know you're going to be doing this, almost like Aldo when he fought, who was it? Pedro Munhoz, when he kept like flicking his foot to his calf or to his butt. And that was like his way of getting it out of the way and just avoiding it altogether. Like, you're still going to get hit a little bit, but there's more chances for them to kick your kneecap versus kicking the calf cleanly.
Is it so? Because I'll see a lot of times when guys throw the calf kicks, they'll like not land the shin bone on it, but they'll land like the meat of their foot on it, like the top of their foot. Like, obviously that's not going to hurt as much, but it seems like the legs are just like super sensitive.
They are. Like, even if I don't calf kick it, if I take my hand and I punch your calf muscle, that's just as damaging as me kicking it. Maybe not the same impact and force, but if you let me wind up and punch and connect on it, like, no one's going to sit there and let you do that. But that's like kind of the same premise. Like, it just doesn't matter. It's just about hitting that spot that's going to really do the damage, because it's such a small muscle compared to the thigh where most people traditionally kick. Or if they kick to the body, you can kind of get your arms there. Or even if you kick to the body, you have more muscle and more bones. There's just more of a surface area versus the calf, which is just this tiny little thing.
Yeah.
I said something about this and people were saying, look at Jose Aldo and I forgot the other fighter they said, Pereira, I think. Look how they dealt with the calf kicks. I'm like, yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is there's no way to check the kick. Like in Muay Thai, where if a guy throws a leg kick, you could turn and just boom, check. They throw the body kick, you could boom, check. And that's the way of defending those strikes.
But you can't just stand like that.
You can't really do that for the calf, because even if you turn your shin into their shin, that action is still going to be very damaging. And I know people are going to say, oh, well, if you check a kick, it's also damaging as well. It's like, yes, it is. But because the calf is so much smaller, it's still being hit. And that's the difference. Like, even though you're checking it with the shin, it's still being targeted. So when it gets hit, even that little bit that wraps around or that little bit of impact is going to be significant damage compared to if you check it when you check the kick that comes up traditionally above the knee.
Interesting.
So it's just different. And I get what people are saying, but I'm just saying from my experience, it's very difficult to check a calf kick. You have to just get that thing out of the way or try to go heel to foot. And that takes such precise timing, because if you do it, if you misstep and a guy fakes it and you're on one leg, you're now a stationary target.
And most guys can't just stand like how Jose Aldo stands. And like, it's like takes a lot of skill to like have that Muay Thai stance in MMA and then not get taken down all the time or not, you know, take a lot of leg kicks. Like, it doesn't always just convert easy.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. You're on one leg.
Yeah.
So for you to take your both feet off the ground where now you're mobile, to put one foot on the floor and then you try to slide out of the way, it's impossible because you're on one leg. You can lift it and then step down and crash some strikes. But again, it only takes a few. And once those things start to add up, if you don't land clean on the button where you're doing significant damage to hurt the guy or rock the guy, man, I would rather be the guy who chips away at the calf, knowing that eventually you're not going to be able to move. And now when we're playing this fainting game and I start going up top and headhunting or going to the body, you're literally a sitting, stationary target compared to before where you were more mobile and able to bounce around. It's just going to be hard to be more of an elusive target. And I think that's the difference. And, man, these calf kicks are just dangerous.
That's
man.
Like what Pereira did to Izzy, though.
Exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Even though he checked a couple of them, it's the same thing. So,
Does me landing calf kicks hurt my calf too? Like, or my leg, like my shin bone?
It can, depending on how you land. That's what I was saying. Like, even if you turn your shin out, you'll see some people that have turned their shin out into it. Like, Giga Chikadze was showing this in the back room when he was saying that. I was like, yes, bro, but the calf is, and he said the same thing. He's like, yeah, it's still gonna hurt. And this is coming from a kickboxer. Like, he's like, yeah, man, it's still gonna hurt, but at least try to hurt them a little bit. I'm like, yeah, but them throwing the calf kick and you making it hurt a little bit, it's almost like that gamble. Like, I would rather throw the calf kick and hopefully that does what it's supposed to do and damage you like that versus you trying to time that step in, turning my shin out to do that. Now you're kind of a stationary target again because you're stepping out and you're now your base is a little bit different. It's just so many little small so details much. That goes yeah. on. And these all happen in a fraction of a second where you got to make these decisions. And that's why I give respect to all the fighters. It doesn't matter who you are. Like, I know some fights I might say, oh, it's a little bit more boring or not as much action, but there's so much going on. And it takes two to tango sometimes. Sometimes
except for that one good dance partner. That one fight where it was like that super jacked guy. I forget his name. They cut him right after. It was like recent.
Oh, William Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just got calf kicked the entire
that
time.
That was just boring.
That was awful.
Yeah.
And then even the other guy, I'm like, dude, you got this guy compromised and you're not even going for it. But that guy, William Knight, is so jacked. It only takes
one. I just don't understand how you can be that jacked and do the, like, if you're actually doing the cardio that's required for a fight, how do you maintain all that muscle? But
yeah, I don't know.
There's something crazy going on there. Like, there has to be. It's not adding up.
He's a huge fire hydrant, that guy. But it was a good fight. Yeah. Congrats to Brandon Lene. He came down to our gym to work out. Like, I had nothing against him, but, you know, if I'm going to go for anybody in that particular fight, the guy that myself and Marab had fought and guy who's been in my weight class, accomplished all the things he's accomplished in such a short amount of time coming over from PFL / WSOF, the World Series of Fighting. You know, you want to see that guy get one. I think this is like his sixth fight.
Yeah.
In a row that he's dropped.
So I guess what do you do if you're Marlon Moraes?
It's about the performance. I mean, you look at the performance, you kind of got to be like it's not like you're getting blown out of the water, but at the same time, it's just like how many losses can you take? Like, you always feel like you're chasing that next W, and then it just never comes, and it's just like, damn, man, it's tough. And we kind of had like a little heart to heart. He came over to me, we went head to head. He was like really sweaty though. I had to wipe my face out. I was like, god damn, dude. And he was just telling me good luck for the fight. And you know, I appreciate the kind words that he's given me and the praise. It was like, he even told me face to face, he's like, man, what you came back from, like with our fight, it was like, anything you need, you know, any advice or whatever.
Wow.
I'll be there to help you, bro. And I thought that was pretty cool. Even in, like, after his loss, still even having the energy or the positivity to even want to say anything positive to me outside of like what he's dealing with at the current moment. So
yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, would you be that nice after a loss?
I don't know. I think it just depends on how you lose. Yeah, I don't know.
I just feel like a loss in MMA is so like heartbreaking.
It's
hard to, the fact that he was that nice to you is like. Or like took time to even say anything to you positive.
Maybe it's just that the world and the universe just wants the cringe to be ended.
So
that's
so.
Like all that people care about.
I think so.
Hey man, I know I lost this fight, but I need you to end this, man. I'm like, I got you, cuz. I got you. Right there.
I think everyone
secretly wants me to win.
Yeah, I feel like that. I don't know.
Even his own teammates. Like, I know his fans are like, yeah, we're excited to see you back, but I think it's secretly they're also like, I would like to see this guy get humbled, but he's also really good, and I got to respect him. And I think that's really where the fans sit with Henry. Like, he is really good, but at the same time, they're like, oh, I could do without this guy. Like, I hope Aljamain could beat him. That's how I feel. And then, even if I'm wrong, that's the way I'm going to take it, because it just gives me more energy, more positivity, positive reinforcement.
Do you want to go to his YouTube videos?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Henry's vlogs and crap. He's got a cut. He's got a nice little vagine under his
little slit.
His left eye on his cheekbone.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, I'm like, damn, if you're getting banged up in training like that by, I don't know who you're training with, but if you're getting banged up in training like that.
Yeah. The more I'm seeing from his YouTube channel, just every, even like the non like training videos he does, I'm just like, I feel better about you winning. Like, I don't know why. I just think, like, he's focused on YouTube so much, it seems.
He's a YouTuber, and I can't get beat up by a YouTuber right now.
No.
I can't allow this. I got to end this.
You're Tommy Fury. He's Jake Paul.
Yeah.
But then, like, even his training vlogs, I'm like, comparing your training camp to how he does a training camp, based on what he's showing, which he could be trying to deceive us, I guess, but it's like,
it's a lot of energy to deceive somebody with what he's showing.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's a lot. This is like, this just doesn't seem like good compared to what you're doing. I don't know. I mean, I said that to you. I'm like, it seems like he's like got like too much going on.
Could be. And at this, and to play devil's advocate, because that's just how I am. He's in the spotlight now. He's in the main event. We're both getting a lot of push and shine for people paying attention to this fight. It's a high-stakes matchup. Both guys who've never lost the belt. For him, he never lost the belt. Coming back, trying to do the things he's been talking about, trying to fight Volkanovski. He's got some big plans in the back pocket that he would like to accomplish. So I think for him, he's looking at it like, well, I started this YouTube thing when I retired. Maybe I should try to maximize this as much as I can and put out as much content as I can. But to your point, how much is too much and how much of it is going to be a distraction versus actually beneficial?
Right.
I think that's the difference between how he's doing it versus how we're doing it.
So, and you and I have had this conversation multiple times because, like, you know, you're a full-time fighter. I'm full-time basically running our YouTube stuff. And I'm, like, always, like, there was a while where I was like, I would love if we could like focus more on YouTube and like put out more content. Like we've talked about this plenty of times. Yeah. And you're always like, dude, that's not what it is right now. Like yeah. There's a time and a place for that, but like I have to win fights.
Yeah.
Like for I can't
give a shit.
I can't even right. Like I could put all this energy into YouTube and then I lose and no one gives it. Like there's a lot of fighters with YouTube channels right now that nobody's watching at all. And we're not even the biggest, but like,
yeah. But our content is pretty damn fire, if I could say so myself. I'm not even trying to be biased. Like, I do watch a lot of the other fighters' stuff, and I'm going to say we're easily top three. And that's just not to try to be, like, saying we're number one, but I'm going to say easily top three.
I think we've, like, kind of nailed it. We've got it down to a science. Like,
even Volkanovski's guys said the same thing.
Yeah.
And their stuff is pretty damn good.
Their stuff's amazing.
Yeah, I like watching Volkanovski stuff.
I think
so.
His team is overlaps with Izzy's team, so they're a lot of them yeah. work together, and they're like they make really good. I would put them in top three too. Like
I'm gonna say we're in like that.
We're
trifecta.
Yeah,
right there.
But they've given me like a lot of compliments about like the stuff we've done, and I mean I think your podcast is like the most technical analysis podcast there is.
Yeah.
So it's just about making that more known, I think.
Well, that's good, and I do think if there's fighters out there that want to get insight on fights and, like, it's almost like if you're an up-and-coming fighter, listening to this show, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but it's like where else can you get this type of technical advice and breaking down of these sequences from someone at a high level for free?
That's literally actually for so free. That's the best. That's who this podcast is for.
Yes.
Definitely. Up-and-coming, like, or people who are super interested in like the technical stuff about fighting.
And the good part about it is I can be unbiased about it. And even when I'm breaking down my own fights, I can give the goods for myself, my tools to win. And I can look at the objectively and look at my opponent and be like, these are his victories to winning. Like even our matchup with myself and Henry, like he's explosive. He's shorter, more compact. I haven't fought a lot of guys like that. He can get in. He's going to be smaller coming up, so he's going to be more dense. He's going to be strong. He's got a good wrestling base. So he's got a lot of tools that he can use to win. I think I have more advantages with my size, my range, and even my grappling ability from an overall game, not just strictly wrestling. But I know his best ways of winning, and I know my best ways of winning. And when it gets closer to the fight and when I do the breakdown, I'm going to give the fans like what I'm looking out for. Yeah. And if Henry's smart, this is what he knows already in his own heart. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you the same way I did against TJ, same way I did against
Jan. You
did
it against TJ.
Yeah.
Like fucking the day before. Sorry, I cursed. But like the day before you weighed in, I think you did it. You broke down how TJ could beat you.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
But it's at the same time, I have all those bases covered. Like, I'm looking at it from that analytical standpoint. Like, if I want to win, I have to be honest with myself. The same way where people was like, oh, you're making an excuse why you lost, why you were getting your ass kicked by Jan the first time. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you the legitimate reason. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. I don't think he's that much better than me. I think he had a better day. And I think based on what I'm saying and what I felt when I was in there, if I had had a full meal What Merab had did to him that first time, I think I bulldozed him the same way I did Sanhagen in the first round. I swear on my life, that's how I felt. I was like, dude, this guy has nothing for me. And the fact that he was able to prepare for me the second time, I thought he was more prepared the second
fight. He did, yeah. And he got bigger.
And it blew my mind with the adjustments he was able to make within those 13 months. And I was like, okay, now let me change my approach. Let me not gas pedal him the way I did the first fight. And now let me actually strategically control the fight and take advantage that way. And that's what I did. And
wow.
And that's just me being honest.
But this is the thing. Like, there's the fighters who are at the top. This is what I've realized, like, being around you guys. You're all, like, obsessed, like, with MMA. Like, you watch every fight. You watch boxing fights. You watch, like, you're breaking down everything. You can't watch. It's like, kind of like me, if I watch a YouTube video, I'm studying how they
transition,
do edits, and how they're retaining people and making people watch longer. It's the same thing. I can't watch it like a normal person. Same thing with you. It's like, you can't watch a fight without, like, literally, like, nerding out about it, like, out loud. Like, you have to say it, almost.
Yeah. And even, like, that Marlon and Lene fight, like, I want to go back and watch that and just to see how Lene was actually able to set it up, because he was able to get in and out with those calf kicks with taking little to no damage in those transitions and those training sequences. Yeah. And those are high-level things that people need to pay attention to. How is he feinting? How is he stepping? When he is committing to the kick, what is Marlon doing? What is Marlon looking at? Like, those little details are what separates people. And again, like, not to toot my own horn, I just think if I had someone who I can listen to that was willing to give free game and analyze fights, I'm tuning in to listen to see what they're seeing as a young fighter that wants to learn and progress. I want to see what he's seeing that can help me get to that level that he's at, because maybe there's just different perspectives, or maybe I thought I saw something and then when I hear from somebody else, I'm like, wow. Or maybe that guy maybe might be completely wrong, or maybe you just have a different viewpoint on it and you might see something different and you can still get something out of that. So
you saying this right now is giving me, like, so many, because I think you saying that is, like, a breakthrough for, like, how do we market this podcast to the right people?
Yeah. That was
so I'm getting a lot of ideas, actually. But how do you think you could be this dialed in and put out, like, the amount of content that Henry's putting out, I guess? Because that's my thing, is, like, it seems like I keep telling everyone he's a full-time YouTuber. He's not.
Like. Yeah, I do want to test his will to be in there to fight. And he's a competitor at the end of the day. He's always going to have that competitive fire. Like, everyone always wants to compete, especially when you've done it for so long like he has. But fighting is different. It's not a wrestling match. There's a desire and a willpower that you have to want to be in there when the going gets tough, or where something's not going your way, or where you get hit with something that you did not expect that person to hit you with. And you're kind of like, holy, I'm in a fight. And I do want to test that and see if he's actually in it for the right reasons. And we're going to see who wants it more. I do think the amount of content he's putting out, most of it is MMA based, but it's still a lot of extra content that does take time and commitment. Like, even when you're asking me to do some extra stuff and I'm just like, dude, I don't have the energy or the brain power to want to stop what I'm doing, which is just relaxing in between a hard training day or training sessions, to go do another YouTube video, because that's not the primary focus. At the end of the day, this is more of a, I don't want to say hobby, but it's a side hustle and more of a hobby than it is the primary.
It's almost like
breadwinner.
It's definitely not the primary breadwinner, but it's I feel like it's like the next thing. It's like, hopefully this can become something, like, later on. But
kind of like DC.
Yeah.
And Chael, they do a phenomenal job. Like, I like listening to those guys, even though Chael sometimes gets a little bit off the wagon, like, just talking about one thing. He could make it 12 minutes for no reason whatsoever.
That's his, like, genius.
That's his thing.
That's his, like,
but people listen for that. I feel like they listen to see how long can Chael reel you in to listen to something before he gets to the point.
It's literally, like, his superpower. Like, Mr. Beast has to spend millions of dollars to get people to tune in for 12 minutes. It's like, Chael just has to talk and people will tune in. Like,
I only give you this because.
It's one of those things. It's one of those things.
Yeah. Aljo versus Cejudo. My. How much time did it take for them to make this fight? What are we doing? What are we doing? I was like, yo. But it works. It works. Uncle Chael does it great. He does a good job, man.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Yeah, but hopefully Henry's dialing, because I don't want no excuses, man. I want the best version of Henry Cejudo. I don't want nobody coming out saying, ah, he's a retired guy. To me, I'm treating this is Henry who last fought Dominic Cruz. This is Henry that fought Mighty Mouse and TJ Dillashaw. He's still in his, he might not be in his most athletic prime, but I'm going to pretend that he has not lost a step. And that's why I'm making sure I'm training with the guys I'm training with, getting the speed looks, getting the size looks, and getting the grappling and the wrestling ability. Because I'm like, man, if I could shut these guys down, what is this guy going to do to me? Like, honestly, what is this guy going to do to me? He's going to need to catch me with something and hope that it's enough or right on the button where it could get me out of there. Because I think if it's going tit for tat, I like to think that my tit's beating his tat. And that might be a weird thing to say, but I really do think that if we go back and forth, I think I'm winning that fight, man. Yeah. Those exchanges, I really do.
I just think the one thing that's dangerous that makes him like a little worrisome, not very worrisome, is like he seems like the guy who will literally like study, like he'll practice one move that he thinks he can get off on you because he saw some hole in one of your fights sometime at some point that he was studying film. And he'll, like, literally prepare for that, like, one little thing, whereas, like, other guys might just practice their skills and try to hope their skills outmatch your skills. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's what Mighty Mouse said about him.
Yeah.
He's, like, he's very disciplined. And for me, I look at my performances and I go, like, well, what's he really going to be disciplined on? He didn't get to see much with the TJ fight. Maybe he's going to look at the grappling exchanges. And if you look at the grappling stages, I'm like, man, I got those takedowns relatively easy in all of them. Like, obviously, the second round, his arm was jacked up at that point. But the first round is like, I caught the kick and it literally fell on my hands. That's just the amount of mental rehearsals we did and the amount of physical rehearsals we did.
That's the thing is, like, you'll do what I just said Henry will do, you'll do that too.
So,
and, like, rep it out like crazy and get your training partners to. I mean, I don't want to give away the game.
That's why, like, this is a good fight because I think it's two meeting of the minds, and I'm very excited for that. So I think the fans are going to be in for a treat with this one.
And they don't know, like, they don't know you're like that yet. Like,
but it's all on YouTube.
He's marketed. Like, no, I know, but, like, he's done a good job of marketing himself as, like, the fight guru.
Yeah.
And you are that, too, but you just have to, like.
I think I just don't talk rights. About it the way he does. Did you know he has a gold medal?
Yeah. He says that a lot. That's his main reason he thinks he's going to beat you, actually.
Yeah. It's actually comical, but whatever. Let's talk UFC 287 before we get too dialed in with everything else. We got the rematch, Israel Adesanya, or should I say Alex Pereira taking on Israel. Adesanya.
Adesanya.
Izzy, this is their fourth fight. I'm going to start this off like this. Ain't no way in hell that Izzy is going to go down 0-4 against this man. I just refuse to believe
it. Okay, I'm taking you to war here. You say that, but.
Talk to him.
You got to look at it skill for skill, like matchmaking wise. You can't just say, that sounds like a casual thing to say. That sounds like something I would have said, like, when we started doing this podcast together. Like,
okay, go ahead. I'm going to shut that down, too.
Like, you can't just – it's the when you look at the matchup, it's like Izzy has to not get starched for 25 minutes, or he has to starch him.
Yeah.
And he did come close. He was winning most of that, but that left hook never goes away from Alex Pereira. So just to say, like, Izzy's just not going to lose four times in a row or whatever, just because you just believe in him, it's like, why do you believe in him? Do you think he's going to go have a perfect – you basically have to have a perfect fight.
You have to
have a perfect fight.
I'm going to throw you some softballs right now. Slam it right out of the park. Reasons why Izzy beats Pereira in the rematch, or should I say in the quadrilogy. You look at the Yoel Romero fight. He made the adjustments after getting cracked one time in that first round. He realized, okay, this is not the matchup that I need to come out here and try to put on a crazy performance. I need to just win. He did what he needed to do to just win. Jared Cannonier, same guy who could put your lights out, especially if he takes you down. He needed to just win. He did that. Robert Whittaker, he made the adjustments, took him out in the first round when Whittaker was getting overly aggressive. He almost had Alex Pereira out of there in the first round.
But he didn't.
But then he gets chipped away with a couple of leg kicks, big leg kicks, I would say, calf kicks. And then on top of that, he got Pereira down a couple of times. If you go on his vlogs on his YouTube channel, you'll see that he's actually putting in the work with the wrestling, which is the key to victory. Same thing with Jan. I'm not going to go tit for tat and go to a stand-up battle with him because that's a losing fight. That's what Israel tried to do. He tried to prove to him that this was still kickboxing and he could beat him in a stand-up fight in an MMA fight, which makes no sense. You're not kickboxing anymore. Get over it. You lost in those events. Let's take it to MMA now. Let's mix it all up and get the W. And instead, he tried to be more exciting.
Well, he did try to wrestle. It just didn't really work.
Very little.
I don't think he prepared well for it.
He didn't. Yeah. And I think when he got him down, those sequences were rushed. And I think when you give a guy an opportunity, Leon Edwards versus Kamaru Usman, Volkanovski preparing for Islam Makhachev.
That's the true.
You get guys that can actually prepare, that are smart, cerebral fighters that think the way like myself or DC or John Jones.
Learn how to grab the fence.
That's a very reliable technique.
It is.
In case things get a little sticky. You know how sticky it gets? When things get a little sticky, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So when you factor in all those things, Israel is a winner. He knows how to win. I think when you're hurt and you're compromised, that goes out the window. But I think now with him putting in that time, he's going to have a little bit more dedication and discipline to say, hey, man, I've entertained before. Now this is just about getting the job done, getting my hand raised. And
get
he said
it. Get your pay-per-view points back, dog.
And he said it. He said, this is do or die. And that right there,
it is.
That makes me believe that he's going to go out there and do the things that he needs to do to win. I'm not saying that Pereira is not expecting that. If Pereira isn't expecting Izzy to wrestle, that would be the most blasphemous training camp preparation ever. It really would be.
So, let's say Pereira is doing the same wrestling stuff that Izzy's doing.
Okay, because everything Izzy does, Pereira does better.
Well, yeah, now
just,
you got...
I'm just going by the memes. No, I'm going by the memes, because if Izzy starts to play golf, you know Pereira's going to come out with the golf clubs.
Right. Okay, so let's just... Because you're right. Pereira probably knows Izzy's wrestling and trying to get ready to grapple. So Pereira said, hey, Glover, let's do some grappling this camp. I need Jiu-jitsu, to be prepared. Though. Yeah, but he probably can teach him some takedowns and takedown defense. And there's probably other guys over there.
Jiu-jitsu takedowns.
I mean, who's in Australia helping Izzy wrestle?
Who helped Volkanovski?
I don't know, but there's can a guy who's big enough, small enough to help Volk also help Izzy the same way? Yeah, they got to find a guy big.
Yeah, but it's all
who's
about
that good.
But it's all about technique.
Yeah. I mean, I think Izzy's very smart. Like obviously he's like a genius, I think, when it comes to fighting.
Let me freeze you. It's just even if you're not the best kickboxer, if you can emulate and do exactly what I'm showing you to do so I can get the reps and the same exact look, it doesn't matter how skilled you are as a practice partner because we're just rehearsing and going through sequences.
That's true.
Versus like going live and getting that live look, which is different, and I would agree with you on that. Well, who's giving him those looks from a live standpoint?
But right, and the guy teaching him has to – well, I guess it could be a smaller guy, but he just needs a big guy, a big body who can rep him out. Yeah, and it's like, not like Pereira is going to come in and be some – 225 grappling wizard. But exactly. I'm saying if Pereira, let's say Pereira is as good of a grappler coming into this fight as Izzy is, which is probably not possible. But let's just say. Now you got a guy who's way bigger than Izzy who's done the same reps this training camp as Izzy grappling. So it probably brings it back to the feet. I could totally see that happening.
It could, but at the same time, it's like that fight, Izzy was outpointing him the entire time. He got caught with one nuclear missile, and we all know Poatan hits hard.
That's all it takes. Izzy could grapple fuck him
for 4 rounds. Yeah, push him against the cage.
And then get cracked and lose in the last minute of the fight.
But he could also stifle, kill, eat clock. I'm not saying this is going to be a fan-friendly fight, but it's going to be up to Pereira to make sure that he keeps him off of him, not allow him to do that. And I think Izzy is going to be smart enough to know, if I eat the clock, I push him against the cage, I beat him up, chip away, and I don't give him space to chop away at my legs. I don't give him space to throw that left hook. How does he win?
Also, if you frustrate him, like that'll definitely frustrate Pereira.
Who's faster?
I just don't know if he'll get emotional. Like if he'll start throwing caution to the wind and give Izzy an opening.
This is a good fight, man.
It is, man.
It's a really good fight. I'm pulling for Izzy because I actually met him. I don't know Alex Poatan. I'm sure Pereira is a really good dude. He has a great, amazing story. For him to come and do what he's done in MMA is very inspiring for anyone. And even though his technique is very, like, odd, like he punches from his waist, his hands are always down, but It doesn't matter if he hits you and puts it on your chin, you're going to sleep. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, he's super scary.
You know, that's a really scary dude. I respect both of them, but, you know, Izzy's my guy. I just want to see him get back on top. And I just don't want to see him go 0-4. That's really what it comes down to. I can't let this man go 0-4.
I'm honestly, at first I thought I wasn't rooting for Izzy, but like when you said no man in the UFC history has ever come back in an immediate title rematch and won. Izzy's like hype is like on the line here. His like status in MMA is definitely on the line.
Yeah.
If he loses, he's probably going to be a guy that they try to use to make other guys look good. Even though he's Israel Adesanya, everyone is going to have their day like that unless they retire before it happens.
Yeah.
So, like, he either becomes champion again and he's on top and he, you know, gets his pay-per-view points back, or he's going to be a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, that's what the UFC does, man.
I forgot what my point was with all that, but if he wins, it'll be historic.
Yeah.
And it'll be like everything's back to normal for him.
Someone has said something about Randy Couture winning a fight after he lost the belt, and I'm gonna fact check that because I'm not quite sure I know if that's true or not. But yeah, this will be a historical thing, and I'm pulling for him, man. Because again, they both got great stories, but
I would love to see, like, because it would be like a super hard feat to accomplish, to like the mental fortitude to beat this guy after what he's done to you.
100%.
Like, that would be insane.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, though, man. It's going to be UFC heavyweight. Oh, so he lost to Josh Barnett in a title fight.
Josh Barnett.
Yeah, and then, yeah, he beat Pedro Hizo. He won by strikes. Man, this is a lot of history to try to unpack here.
Da, 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 da,
yeah, this was a UFC heavyweight championship. He beat Pedro Hizo, and then he rematched him, and then beat Pedro again. Then he lost to Josh Barnett. Then he lost to Rico Rodriguez. So I don't know what anyone's talking about. I mean, they might be right. I just don't see what they're talking about. I don't see any immediate rematches other than the Pedro Hizo fight with Randy Couture.
But it wasn't a title fight.
I see Vitor Belfort loss. Let me see. Cut. Round one, UFC light heavyweight championship, okay. And then he fought Vitor back, and then he beat Vitor. Oh, shoot. Unfinished business. UFC, okay. So there's one. So someone actually did do this. This was UFC 46 and UFC 49. But let's see if Vitor actually fought somebody in between that.
Right.
Because that would change everything.
Everything, brother.
Yeah, but these are some... So he fought Randy, and why is my internet going so crazy? Vitor was a phenom. It's hot, right?
No, I'm starving.
Oh, it was hot too.
I'm burning body fat as we speak.
He beat Randy, then lost to Randy. Yeah. Oh, so it was this. Randy was the first guy to do it, the one and only guy that I could think of. All right.
So Israel has a chance to put himself in the same atmosphere as Randy Couture. He might already be there, but
yeah. He's just not gonna go 0-4, man. Izzy's too smart for that. And the way he fought relatively smart as well.
It's like Pereira has it, actually, yeah, if you think about it, Pereira needs to improve more like he had more bad moments in that fight.
Yeah, but he looks scary when he's hitting those pads. And when he's sparring, dude, those clips he's been putting out, I'm like, it's almost like when you win the belt, you get a set of extra balls. A set of extra confidence that just comes along with it, where you're just like, I'm the guy. Really? I'm the man right now. You see the way he's hitting the pads, the swag, he's in there sparring, you see these clips that he's putting out, you're like, man, this guy's feeling confident. The same way Leon Edwards feeling confident coming into this next fight with a guy who is considered the pound for pound number one.
Yeah, that champ, headshot. That champion,
you
know, glow.
You get a little bit of that, man. So that's why I like this fight. It can easily be Pereira's night again. He could just be like, no, son, I'm here to stay.
Like,
or Izzy's coming back and be like, nah, I'm here to reestablish order in the universe.
Yeah, yo, if Izzy does that, like, it's up for him. Like,
yeah, this is a moment.
Up and stuck, man. Like,
this is a moment.
Because who's beating Izzy? I mean, maybe Hamzat. Bo Nickel?
I don't know. Hamzat would have to take him down early and hope that Izzy doesn't get up. Because if Izzy's able to get up even at all, or even do slightly close to what Volk was able to do with Islam, or Leon was able to do with Usman, that's a fight. Yeah. And we haven't seen Hamza go crazy like that and then get those takedowns defended and have to fight. I mean, we've seen him in the barn burner with Gilbert Burns, but that was all stand-up war. What happens if you exert that energy trying to get a finish on the ground, and then you get up and those arms are heavy and you're exhausted?
And then you've got Israel Adesanya in front of you.
Sticking the jab, utilizing those calf kicks, those question mark kicks that he's so good at. That's an interesting fight, man. And yeah, and it is. Hamza is a little bit smaller. The fact that he can even make 170, I'm not saying Adesanya can't make 170, but I don't think he can, just the way I'm looking at their builds right now. It just makes me feel like Izzy is definitely the bigger guy coming into that one.
That's true.
That's a hypothetical
match. And if he does really put in the grappling work. This is the thing.
I just don't think it's easy. I'm not saying Hamza wouldn't win, because I know the stands out there are going to come for us. I'm just saying,
he's hypothetically, probably the favorite.
I can see him being the favorite, but it's not going to be as easy as people think.
No. That's a good point. I think, what was I going to say?
This is a good card, man.
I know. Who else is on?
Gilbert Burns. Jorge Masvidal, do or die.
Let's go on this one.
This is do or die for Masvidal. He needs to win if he wants to be Mr. Gamebred and still in this division to be talked about as a contender. Not like he's still a big name, but a guy that people are going to talk about can come back and fight for the title again. He's 38 years old.
I think if he does win, he's definitely getting a title shot.
He's on a 3-fight losing streak.
Yeah, but he's Jorge, and he'll bring so many pay-per-view dollars. And Leon wants the fight. They have history.
Two to Usman.
And if Kobe wins, the
one to Kobe. You think they're going to give him a rematch to Kobe if he beats
Dude,
Burns?
You know how many pay-per-views that would sell?
A rematch?
Yes. Especially because Did you watch the first fight? Yes.
You think you could sell that? You think you could sell that to the fans?
Yeah.
That it's going to be different?
Jorge has reasons for why. He has a story for why he didn't. They could easily sell that fight. Jorge's a master salesman. He could easily make fans think it's going to be a good fight. And he even sold it to me. Okay, he sold it back to me on the Rogan podcast.
Do you think it's going to be a good fight? Based on what we saw the first fight. That's what I want.
If that's all I'm basing it on, probably not. But I don't know what's going on in between then and now. Jorge said it was a bad night for him.
Did he say why it was a bad night?
I can't remember.
I didn't listen to the podcast.
I can't remember. But, dude, like, you know, even listening to that podcast, it made me realize how much of a fight wizard he is, like how much he watches and like pays attention to everything.
Jorge's an OG.
Yeah, and like he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
So,
but at the same time, man, so what we've seen Kobe do to him, it's just kind of like it was so one-sided. There might have been like maybe two moments where it looked like he might have clipped, or he kind of did clip Kobe, and it was like maybe he could get him out of here.
This is what he said. So since that fight, he's been like putting in insane work wrestling. He has Bo Nickel with him. He's been like repping out what you do, like repping out the techniques over and over and over again. And he said he's been doing that for a while now.
Well, that's good, because that takes a lot of discipline, man.
And, and to
because it's boring.
He said most of his work isn't even striking work anymore.
Yeah, it's so boring.
I know, but did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Most of his work is wrestling work now.
I hope so, man.
And
you're fighting Burns.
We'll see who is. Yeah, we'll see how he does against Burns. But I think he has a decent chance of winning. I don't want Burns to lose, but it would be crazy to see, like, with Conor back in the mix.
That's the margin.
Jorge getting a win would make things exciting.
Yeah, it'd be good for the UFC. Business would be booming for the UFC.
And I think when business is booming for the UFC, that obviously means it's good for the fans.
Of course.
Like,
but there's so many different directions the storylines can go.
It could, yeah.
But this guy beating that guy.
If Jorge wins, whoever wins the next title fight in his weight class, he has beef with and can sell a fight with.
Yeah.
And it's way bigger like pay-per-views, I think.
No, I
agree
with
you. Then let's say Jorge wins the title somehow. Conor and him could easily have a title fight. The UFC could make that happen. Tell me I'm wrong.
The UFC can make whatever they
exactly.
want.
Exactly, and they're not above doing
Jose
that.
Jose Aldo a title
They'll
shot
do it.
Off of
Dana
a loss. Off of a loss.
No, listen to me. Dana,
off of a loss.
I know. He'll sit in the press conference and with a straight face say, yeah, Conor beat Michael Chandler at 170. He's going to fight Jorge Masvidal for the title. And then no one will ask him anything deeper in that media room.
Oh, man.
And he'll just sit there and get away with it, and he'll never have to speak about it again, and no one's going to be mad about it, because that would be a sick fight, and it'll sell like 3 million pay-per-views.
I am kind of curious to know why the media never ever questioned him on stuff. It's like, are they like,
because they want to keep getting credentialed, bro.
That's so like, I think there's a way you can ask though. Like,
they did kind of press him. I was in the room for that, the first Dana press conference after his slapping thing.
Yeah.
And they did ask, like, he sat there and, you know, answered their questions. But, like, when he would give a response that I thought was kind of BS, like, no one would push him. But they would ask him the initial questions.
Yeah.
But no one would be like, yeah, but this, like, you dig deeper. But, you know.
Yeah, it's the game. But this is a good fight. I don't want to see either guy lose, but I love Masvidal, watching him fight, especially from all the stuff that he's done. When he fought Al, that was such a annoying fight for me, because I'm like, damn, I'm such a big fan of Masvidal. Why these guys got to fight? Yeah. Why you got to fight my boy? Why you got to fight my boy? Thankfully, Al won. It was a really, really close fight. Happy the decision went our way. Yeah. I'll just like say that.
Sick, Al beat him.
Yeah, that's a good feather in the cap to have in the history books. And then you got Gilbert Burns, of course, having that crazy performance and then beating Neil Magny the way that he did. He's right there, man. So he's on the cusp. It's like 170 is a fun division to be watching right now. It really is.
It is, yeah. And even if Gilbert got a title shot, that would be sick. Because I think options there. he could beat both those guys.
That's the best thing about it, that is that there is legitimate options there.
I like Gilbert against Leon and Colby.
Yeah, because he hasn't fought any of those guys yet.
But I like his style against them, like to win.
The old right hands, man. The old bungalows, they don't miss, bro. They don't miss.
Leon looks like so good right now, though.
And then, of course, we got Rob Font back in action, taking on Adrian Yanez, the young Punisher, baby.
That's your guy.
Yeah, Font, he's 35 years old. And he's 5'8 with a reach of 71.5 inches. He's a little bit, he's got a half an inch on me in reach. With the hands, Yanez is 29. He's 5'7". His reach is 70 inches. Yanez, let's just go down the history books. Coming from the contenders, he beats Victor Rodriguez, Gustavo Lopez, Randy Costa, Davy Grant, Tony Kelly, all by either knockout, except for Davy Grant, which was split decision.
This is, who'd you say? Yanez?
Adrian Yanez.
Oh, okay.
Font's on a little bit of a skid here. Lost to Marlon Vera. Even being ahead on the scorecards with the striking count, but then just not landing anything to do significant damage compared to the way Vera was able to do it, which dropped him in almost every single round. And then you have him losing to Jose Aldo by unanimous decision. And before that, he beat Cody Garbrandt, Marlon Moraes, Ricky Simon. So this division is stacked, man.
I'm for me, like, with Rob Font.
But how does Font beat Simon? And now look where they're both going. Like, he beat Simone.
That's what happens, dude.
Font goes up here. Simone comes back up. Font goes back down.
Wait, I haven't seen, like, the Simone fight. How did it go?
It's a pretty good fight.
Like, did Font take a lot of damage?
From what I remember, no.
He pretty much
controlled it with the jab, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so
that would be a good fight to go back and watch.
My thing is, like, Font has demonstrated to me that he doesn't really have, like, a great chin now.
I agree.
And that's not going to fare well for you at all against Adrian Yanez. Like, he will find your chin, like, 5 times in a millisecond.
He's so fast.
And, like, he'll hit you hard, too. Like,
he's so fast.
Do that thing.
Yeah. He's just look here. Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
And we had some great sparring sessions, man. We had some fun ones.
That was right before you hired me.
Yeah.
I wish I could have filmed that, dude.
Oh, you weren't here for that.
No. That was literally, like,
we got it all documented, too, though. For the most part, I think we got pretty much all those rounds. It was some fun rounds.
And him sparring Marab too. That would be fun to watch.
Marab sparred him. I don't know if we got any of those rounds recorded.
We got to bring him back. We might have
like one or two of those rounds. We're in like a weird spot now, because he's like obviously creeping up.
Yeah.
To both of us, it's like
he's still crazy because you saw him and like.
I picked him out in the beginning of his career.
Yeah, but like before he was the guy, yeah. And then he, like, right after that, he became the guy, and it was like, damn, Aljo. That shows how much you know.
Yo, I don't want to say I predict these things, but I definitely see it, man. You can definitely see the talent early on. So this is going to be a good matchup between just their style of approach. The one thing I would say that Font does have going for him is he has more diversity in his striking arsenal with the kicks. Really that front kick that he throws, that he's, I would say he finds a lot of guys' chin with that. And those rock a lot of people that he has fought.
Yeah, Yanez, he doesn't really kick
not
too
really.
Much. Yeah.
He knocked that one guy out with the head kick, though. Like, they tee him up with the hands, though, and then at the end he just put him.
That was the last guy, right?
That was Tony Kelly. He beat the crap out of Tony Kelly with just his hands and then gave him the fingers.
That I remember.
It was another guy. I think it was his debut against, I think it was Victor Rodriguez. Teed him up, and then right when he was circling out, hit him with like a head kick off the break, and that was it. Just sat him down. I was like, damn, this kid, I'm telling you, this is the guy right here. Like, it's hard to see guys who could put it together the way that he does. Speed, eyes, and I would say relatively good defense on the feet, and he was fighting all strikers, so I'm like, man, if he could do this with these strikers, the challenge is going to be when guys try to grapple him. And I do wonder if Rob Font's going to try to play a grappling approach into this one.
Can Rob Font grapple?
I don't really ever remember seeing him grapple. Yeah. He got taken down by Marlon Moraes. He did a good job going 2-on-1, controlling the wrist, and then getting back up to his feet. And then he put the touches on Marlon Moraes after that. So the speed advantage is definitely Adrian Yanez. I'm leaning towards Adrian, but I do think Font can make it interesting with the long jab and see how well he's going to do with his recovery, with his chin, and giving his head a break from getting banged up. His last fight was 2022 in April. So almost a full year layoff.
Yeah, and that last one was against
Marlon Vera. He took some damage. And even the one before that, I guess Jose Aldo, he took some damage
but,
as well.
But like the shots that landed, it didn't look like they were like the hardest shots.
Who, for him?
Yeah.
Well, they hit mostly forearm. And Cheeto's pretty damn durable. If I'm going to be honest,
No, I'm saying the shots Cheeto landed.
Nah, Cheeto hit him with like a hook kick to the head. Cheeto hit him with some, it was like sweet chin music to the face.
I saw some like jabs knocked him down though.
Yeah, I think that was like after the accumulation of all the other damage when he beat him up. We could watch that fight again.
I'm thinking too much of the Dom fight, but.
Yeah, nah, Cheeto beat him up. When he had his moments, which were all at the end of the round, like the last 40 seconds to a minute, he beat him up really bad.
He'd knock him down and then just beat
him up on the ground. Elbows on the ground. Like he hurt him pretty good. This is going to be an interesting one. Then we got Kevin Holland taking on Ponzinibbio. Two guys I like a lot. Ponzinibbio, super nice. He was actually supposed to stay at the house and rent like rooms for me before. He actually never ended up doing that, but super cool dude. We've known each other for years now at this point. I think once they around when he made like his UFC debut, well before I met Kevin Holland. He's been in the game for a minute. I remember he was out for like 3 years when he had one of his injuries. Dang. I think it was his neck. He had like a crazy layoff, man. He beat Neil Magny in 2018 in Argentina, and then he didn't come back to 2021. So he had a long layoff, man. So, cool dude. It's always tough when it's like that. You got Raul Rosas taking on Christian Rodriguez.
On the main card.
On the main card. Kelvin Gastelum over Chris Curtis on the main card.
That's crazy. Because that's a good fight.
Michelle Waterson is back.
Okay.
The karate hottie.
Okay.
She hasn't fought since 2022 in July, though. So it's been a minute for her. Cynthia Cavillo.
Well, I wonder what that's like to go like 9 months without fighting.
I hate it, personally.
Yeah, you're like always...
But I'm always banged up, man. So, Joe Pyfer is fighting Gerald Mershot. If I'm being honest, this could go one of two ways. Mershot is going to either be the upset king in this one and maybe show levels of the experience. But Joe is younger. I'm going to say more durable. We've seen what Khamzat was able to do to Mershot. If you land early and you can rock him. But then I think he won like 3 in a row though, man. But this is definitely a fight where they're trying to tee up a win for
Pyfer.
Joe Pyfer.
Wait, how have I not heard that Pyfer's on this card?
Me either. So after he lost to Khamzat, he won 3 in a row.
That's
all
crazy.
Finishes. Guillotine, rear naked choke. Then he lost to Christoph Jocko by decision.
I think we watched that fight together.
Yeah.
In New York or something.
And then he beat Bruno Silva by guillotine, who had a really good fight with Alex Pereira.
So he's a savage, man.
Mershot?
Yeah.
He's tough, he's durable, but he's slow. Like, he's almost like a plodding fighter. But his grappling skills, in that division, I'm going to say he's almost second to none. Like, he's a tricky dude. But the thing is, I think he does too much striking where he allows himself to get hit more than he probably should. And that's just my personal opinion. I've met the guy a couple times. Really cool dude. I'm not trying to slight him by any means. But if I'm giving, like, advice to him, it's you strike with the end to a means. Not looking to get into these exchanges and let these guys find your chin or get you on skates. You fight the way that you need to fight to your strengths. Grapple, clinch, look for the takedowns. Maybe throw some calf kicks in there and shell up so you don't take big shots on the way to trying to do that. Slow your opponent down, frustrate them, and then hopefully you can get to that clinch position where you can hit one of those trips and take them down.
Yeah.
Or force them to shoot. But Pfeiffer's strong, younger kid.
It's actually crazy they would give Joe that matchup.
I think it's a big win because a guy who was on a 3-fight winning streak, then losing to Jocko, then beating another guy. I think he's in a really good spot in the rankings. Like in the unranked fighters, that Pfeiffer beats him, Joe Pfeiffer is kind of like announcing himself, his breakout performance to the division.
Interesting.
And Marshawn's only 35, man, which is crazy. 6'1", 35. Pfeiffer's 26, 6'2".
Is he like much of a grappler?
I think he's more of a striker. Okay. I think he's more well-rounded. I don't think he actually has like a straight-up grappling pedigree. He beat Eric Anders in a grappling match at Fury Pro Grappling 6. He beat Alan Amadovsky right cross in the first round in his UFC debut. So this is going to be his sophomore return to competition for Pfeiffer.
A lot of hype on this card. Holy crap, is a stack card.
This is a really good one. I wish I could have gone.
And then got Max Holloway on the next one.
Yeah, I gotta get ready for my fight, man.
That would have been fun to go to Miami.
I'm right around the corner, man. Woo!
This what are crazy. You, 5.5 weeks out?
Nah, from yesterday I was 5. Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah, time's like...
That came out... These camps feel quicker now.
I feel like once the fight gets announced, it starts to really start booking.
Oh, my God. Like, so almost a month out.
I'm excited, man. It's a big opportunity for myself and even for these guys who got their fights coming up. Big opportunity for all these guys as well. Marquee notables, whoever, like, there's like, even if we did like a biggest winner, like for the main card, biggest winners coming out of the main event, the co-main event, like there are huge repercussions for winning and losing in these matchups. And you can still lose and still have like a good.
There's two must win fights on the main card. Izzy must win. Jorge must win.
It's almost like a crossroads fight.
That's another way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, because if they don't win, it's like, where do you go from here? You're at crossroads with your career.
Izzy, here's Hamzat.
It's crazy.
If you lose.
It's crazy.
Or if you win, really.
And then for Jorge, it's the same thing. If he loses now, this would be his third guy, not just because he lost to Usman twice. But if he loses to Colby and now Burns, that puts him so far down that ladder. And I don't know.
If he wins, he's almost right back on top, I feel like.
Oh, of course.
When you have that
people
hype.
People forget so quickly. It's like, yeah. It's like Conor McGregor.
And when you're like a fan favorite, you just get like the opportunities quicker.
Yeah.
You know.
So. If people get behind you, they want to see you fight, and that's all that matters. This is the entertainment business. Like, as much as we want to talk about rankings and all that, we know the people that create, that control the rankings kind of push the favorites anyway, so it doesn't really matter. It's just going out there and having a good performance, and you can kind of control your own destiny in that regard.
Yeah.
And the UFC controls it
as
well.
As long as you keep winning, you get to the title shot eventually, but.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and that one, and then the font for him, this is a crossroads fight too.
It is,
he loses to this up and coming contender who's not ranked. Bro. They'll probably rank Adrianus coming into this
Adrian's
week.
Adrian's not ranked?
He was, then they unranked him. And then they put Amali in there. And then they unranked him. Then they put Umar in there, unranked him. Then they put Umar back in there after he won his last. It was like, it's all popularity, man.
But Adrian's one of the most popular guys.
Yeah.
He's like one of the most exciting guys in the division.
And I think he's 5-0 in the UFC right now.
He's got to be ranked already.
Well, he wasn't. What I'm saying is I think they might have ranked him this week or maybe last week. I'm positive of that.
Wow, that's a tough fight for Rob Font. Holy crap.
Yeah.
They're not doing him any favors.
Well, you lose to Vera, you lose to Aldo. You kind of have to give a step down to competition. Everybody else is booked up. And for him, it's probably like, well, who else does he fight? If I was him, I would have been asking for like Dominic Cruz, a big name, and someone a little bit older around his age, not fighting a young killer who's 26, I think, in Giannis. I'm like, I don't want that. I want a guy who's closer to my age, whose name value is high.
Like,
and I get
let me
more
share
out of
the
it.
Octagon with this guy.
Yeah, I'd rather share the octagon with a legend than someone who's coming in to make their name off of me, off of my work.
Yeah.
Like, damn. It's
and
like
that's
that.
Probably a closer fight.
Facts. But that's... this one, I can see it being, I think this one might be a shootout. And if Giannis finishes him, man, it's off to the races from there. He's within the top 10. And
then you got, like, potential matchups like Giannis versus Peter Yan, Giannis versus Cheeto, Giannis versus Sean O'Malley.
O'Malley.
Like, these striking, like, wars that could happen.
And then Raul Rosa.
This guy.
If he finishes him, I could see the loser of that one potentially getting thrown to Rosa if Rosa wins.
The loser of Font versus Giannis?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yo, I don't want to. That's a bad night for both of them, bro.
That's
because they could easily rush him into the rankings by giving him guys who can't grapple.
Yeah.
Easily.
Styles make fights, man.
It's just, that's not going to, maybe that's not good for his development, probably.
I mean, they did that to me. My third fight, I fought Mizugaki, who was ranked. And I literally didn't fight anybody else who was unranked after that, maybe like one other. I fought literally three guys that weren't ranked. So it's like my wins becoming the most winningest bantamweight were against all, pretty much all ranked opponents, where some of these guys who are in that list have fought the majority of their career, more than half those wins. And I think we're at like 13 for most wins at bantamweight. More than half those guys were unranked.
How many fights do you have in the UFC? Like 17?
17.
And you're doing that, like, at least every 6 months except for the 13 months off.
Yeah. And three of those guys were not ranked.
And that's crazy how, like, at
Put some respect on my name, man. Stop playing with me.
At some point, it's like, this just becomes normal. Like, get into a fight camp, fight.
Yeah.
Take a month off. Get into a fight camp, fight. Take a month off. Like, just constantly. Oh, injury, surgery. Take some time off.
That is a fact.
You want to wrap it up?
Yeah. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, leave them in the comment section. You follow Jake at Jake Fine Media. Follow me, Funkmaster MMA, all things MMA. Go to my website, AljamainSterling.com.
Follow the Weekly Scraps.
Follow the Weekly Scraps page. If you want to get on the MMA news and all the local updates, Jake Fine is actually heading that. And was going to say, if you guys are looking to sponsor the page, anybody at all, hit us up. We'll definitely plug you in with the right guy. And we'll figure out some numbers and get everything on the up and up. So thank you guys for always tuning in. Stay safe. Stay blessed. If you like this shit, subscribe to this shit or spin it back fist. Bow. Bow, bow, bow. Peace.
That was a good pod. Hold on. I'm going to get up close and personal.